this TV screen feels like looking at a magazine. You hurt on the floor, feels like dancing is the way to go.
Okay, everybody. Hi, everybody.
Hey
buddies.
Buddies. This is for the comics.
I can't believe after last time we came back.
You never let me like say what the podcast is.
What are you
this is
say?
A comics clap trap.
Why do you have to say that?
Episode 4, season 4.
It's written on the link when they click
well,
on it.
People tell me that like I should really, you know, be professional and put the name of our you know, podcast this... and also maybe you know, I'm doing this now, but I'm start introducing our guests before we get into
I talked to a person
welcome everyone.
At Ape, and they were like, we really like your show. It's really great. Except, when are you guys getting new microphones?
Oh, I have to say, we were at Ape, right? We had our panel, which I thought was awesome.
Uh-huh.
And I was so happy to have my own mic.
Yeah, you were saying
like I
that.
Was telling Lark, I was caressing that mic.
You know, I
stole it.
I don't understand why this is not our video podcast. Because I feel like that's the future of comics podcasting, you know? And we're just falling behind all the competition. I mean...
What do you mean? Who's video podcasting?
I just noticed that people are video podcasting, and it's so amazing. It's so PBS, and I can't believe that we're not gonna do that.
Mm.
It makes me sad.
Why can't we do that?
How does that work? So like,
I want to get
Skype.
I don't know.
You video Skype?
No. It was amazing. This podcast I saw. They had like a guy, he was writing on a big piece of paper. He was drawing on a big piece of paper. It was fancy.
So guys, we had like an awesome Ape Alternative Press Expo this past weekend.
Yeah.
We were on a panel. We had like some awesome guests.
Well, you know, it was weird because this Ape had a lot of old school people that wasn't going to Ape for a long time. And then they were back.
And a lot of people from the other
like,
East Coast.
Mike Sanjada. Mike Sanjada was
Mike
there.
Sanjada.
Martin was there. He told me he hadn't been there for like 6 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they decided this Ape to go to it, you know?
No, I don't know. Yeah. That felt like it was a last minute thing that I heard of.
Yeah,
Jason Little was there.
Oh yeah,
and
but
I
Jason
no
Little
idea.
Isn't like that anymore.
No, but
he's a different type of weirdo. He was a weirdo, like a one weirdo one time, and now he's a different type of weirdo now.
What kind of weirdo is he now?
I know he's kind of still weirdo though. So, what did you think of this Ape, Josh?
I thought it was fun. I had a good time. I hadn't really been. I didn't go to Ape last year very much, so it was cool.
Yeah, I
see,
had fun
even,
too.
Even Josh came back.
Yeah.
You know, you guys had fun because I think you guys weren't tabling. The sales this year, you guys, were not stellar. And
I
heard that from almost everybody that was tabling. I think, you know, I was thinking about it. I think it's because they expanded the hall too much. It's like they're spreading the wealth, the money a little too thin.
Oh,
you know,
there's
just so many people. Like if you mm-hmm. before,
but they did that last year, you know.
Yeah, but it seemed like there was more this year.
I know, but don't you think that every show, like in the last couple of years, everybody pretty much complains about sales?
Yeah.
I think it might just be sales are down across
the
board.
Yeah, I just wish that the people at Ape would be more...
I just don't think comics are a priority.
Yeah, I think they would be more... I think they should be thinking about who they're giving tables to. I mean, if someone is just going to be selling jewelry, I don't know why you would give them an Ape table, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't mind if it's something that is can be described as art. But did you see that one table that was selling those splat balls?
Yeah. What was that?
It was
a novelty toy.
Uh-huh. I remember those things.
What are those? Those baseballs that have like the monster faces on them?
This wasn't that.
Yeah, but it was sort of like.
It was just weird because
it was such an
old technology. I remember playing with that when I was a kid. It's like they're bringing back splat balls.
But it's like if it was made at like the state fair or something like
that, really?
Or a county fair where you just go and there's booths for like. You know, kitchen appliances.
Totally.
And stuff like I don't know. Like, if somebody's selling prints or posters or shirts, I can let that slide.
Yeah, it's like somebody went to that novelty, you know, like catalog and bought all these little
the
novelty party toys. Yeah, and went, I was like, I'm gonna sell these at Ape. You said something on Facebook about how that Splatball comic was really funny. Were you just kidding?
Yeah, I was.
I was like, yeah, I passed that guy, and I think it was Sunday, and I think he was getting tired and mad and frustrated because he was really like throwing those splat balls, and I was a little bit scared because he's like, check out this splat ball, check it out,
that's
and
so
I was
funny. Like,
looking at my phone,
I was looking at some of the exhibitors, and I was like thinking, wow, some of these exhibitors don't kind of belong. There was this guy. They had a comic called Elephant Man, and I realized Elephant Man is a pretty popular comic now, but it just seemed kind of out of ordinary that like you had all these like Fantagraphics book, and all of a sudden this guy is selling Elephant Man.
Well, but there's always been lots of kind of mainstream-ish stuff there, you know, like just mainstream, but not by Marvel or DC.
Right.
I saw some Star Wars cosplayers.
Really?
And I was wondering, they must have been disappointed in this show.
You know, it seemed like I saw them too. It seemed like the cosplayer. It seemed like there's more cosplayers at Ape, first of all, but the cosplay at Ape is different from like Comic Con.
Are they trying to be
people,
ironic?
No, because people cosplay their own character. Like you go to a booth and there's a guy dressed like Benjamin Franklin. And you'll be like, why is he dressed like Benjamin Franklin? Oh, he's doing a comic about Benjamin Franklin. You know, it's like everybody just seemed to like cosplay. It's like this guy dressed like a big monkey.
That's like you, Tin. You do comics about Tin Fam.
And
you dress up. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think it comes from Seth, you know? Like, Seth does comics about olden day, 1940s dudes, and then he dresses up like olden day 1940s
dudes. But that's because he likes to dress.
Yeah.
No, it's cosplay.
It's always cosplay. I really liked our panel, except I felt like, you know, after the end of the couch started piling up, it was a little awkward where there's just like four people sitting there at the end of the couch not saying anything.
Good.
It was like the Tonight Show. Like
Yeah.
So the setup for the panel was like the Tonight Show where we had a guest and then the next guest would come out and everybody would slide down.
Yeah.
Right. Well.
It was nice that we did ask a couple of questions that would, like, bridge it. It was fun.
Esther was really good.
I love
Esther Pearl Watson. I was kind of excited she was on the panel. But also, like, Scott Campbell, who was, like, you know...
Scott Campbell just stared at us and just basically talked to us the whole time. Yeah, I don't think he looked at the audience
talked down
once.
To us, yeah. And LaVon was funny.
That story that LaVon told.
I don't know why.
Basically, LaVon told a story about being in the Boy Scouts. About how he didn't like it, and his mom would drop him off to the Boy Scouts, and he'd basically just stand in the corner until it was over. It was probably one of the saddest stories I've ever heard. It made me really want to hug LaVon. You know?
Yeah, but
it was so funny,
maybe
though.
Maybe he did other things, like Drew.
Yeah, or just Seed.
But I can't believe we talked so much about the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, I thought that was fun.
But we're by the time this airs, or is posted, we'll have the Ape panel.
Oh,
posted.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
So, Josh, did you pick up any books at Ape?
Yeah, I actually ended up with a lot of minis and stuff.
Oh, cool.
Me too.
So in between playing Magic and wandering around, you've got to pick up some books, huh?
Mm. Yeah, that was kind of lame, I admit.
Did you win? Did you win at your Magic game with Jesse?
I kind of did a hat split with Jesse.
Uh-huh.
You know, my kids, Josh. I've been wanting to talk to you about this. Today, the Magic Club was in
now
my room.
Now seems like a good time.
Yeah, the Magic Club was in my room, and they were showing me this one card that I think like only takes like a couple mana to put out, and it's a 0/3 defender. But then you flip it, and it's a 13/13 trample.
I'm gonna delete.
Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I know that. I know what you're talking about.
What is this flipping thing? That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Okay. Well, enough of that. So tell us the books you got, Josh.
Well, I've got a pretty big stack, so I don't know if we can do them all. But the book that I was most looking forward to that I got was Paper Cutter number 17, which is Paper Cutter is an anthology book that Tugboat that Press puts out. But this was a special issue where all of the stories were written by Jason Martin. And then there was art by a variety of cool artists.
Jason Martin's like our modern day Harvey Pekar.
Yeah, Jason Martin's really good at writing. I feel like, by doing this Paper Cutter, are they trying to say, Jason, you're a really good writer, but you know, someone else should handle the art? Is that what we're trying to say with this book?
Well, I think that Greg loved his stories so much.
Yeah,
they
were good.
He wanted a mix of different artist, though.
This is weird because this is actually just a book like that all three of us have read.
Yeah.
Now and I really enjoyed it. The first story, Jesse's art, mm-hmm. and Jason Martin's writing is just phenomenal. Yeah. It's like such a perfect match for that story, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there's art by Jesse Rekla, Corinne Muka, Francois Vigneault, Calvin Wong, Sarah Olexic, Helen Joe, and Vanessa Davis.
That's quite a lineup. A lineup.
Yeah, I just think that Jason. I think probably people do look at his comics and see his fairly simple art, and I don't know if they really understand the complexity of his writing. But I think he's just like he's just one of those guys who's kind of on another level with telling this kind of story, but picking out the most relevant, affecting elements of the story. You know, like John Porcellino or Harvey Pekar.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. That just read that Weeper story, and you just be like, "That's amazing."
Yeah. So I got that. I got some Koyama Press books. I got a book called Root Rot, which it's kind of it seems like a bit of a sampler, but it's really beautiful. It's another anthology, and it's got basically two pages by all of the artists in it. And I'm not going to read the whole lineup, but it has Dan Zetwalk and Derek Ballard and all kinds of cool artists. So, and then I also got from Koyama. From their table, they were splitting a table with Revival House Press. They're also putting out some really cool books art. They have some books by Mike Bertino, mm-hmm. which are really good.
Oh, was he at the show too?
I didn't see him.
Okay.
I don't know, but I got a couple books there that I haven't read yet, so I can't really review them. But they're called mm-hmm. Everything Unseen by Drew Beckmeyer. Mm-hmm. Those look good. And from Koyama, I got John Vermilia's Pizza Time Ninja Turtle Zine. Which is really awesome. It's a broadsheet. It's like a big newspaper.
Oh man, that sounds awesome. I want to get that.
Yeah, it's two color, I guess. So it's got kind of line work and then green highlights, and it's suitable for framing.
Yeah, now that I think about it, you're talking about the books that you got. This was a great show for getting comics. There was so many good stuff, much good stuff out there. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I also got Levon's Danger Country number mm-hmm. two, mm-hmm. Levon Jahanian, which mm-hmm. I haven't read yet, but number one was good, and it was did it win Ignatz Awards?
No, it was nominated.
It was nominated,
but
okay.
I liked about this one is Teenage Dinosaur, which is like I think Tim Goodyear's company,
uh-huh.
Reprinted Danger Country.
Oh, they reprinted the first one,
so that it's bigger. So it's actually like a normal mini comic size as opposed to that tiny one that he had before, and it looks so much better than before.
And number two is that same size.
Yeah,
format.
Yeah,
yeah. And then I also got Jeff Vasile's Track Rabbit number four,
uh-huh.
which might have been out at a previous show, but I hadn't seen it yet, so I'm looking forward to reading that.
Cool.
Let's see. I have. Did you guys get anything? I'm just
Why don't we both? I'll kind of say a couple of things that we got. What did you get, Rina?
Well, I got the latest Optic Nerve.
Yes.
Which I didn't finish it. I was just reading it on the bus today, but I thought it was really good. I mean, if it's like Dan Klaus's Wilson, that it's structured in like small, like in strips. This first story, but I thought the ending was endearing. So
I really thought about when I was reading it. I was thinking, why doesn't Adrian know that people are gonna say that this is like? I mean, he's gotta know that people are gonna be like, this is kind of like Dan Klaus. But I love that he's like, F it, I don't care.
Tone is totally Adrian's tone, and and it was really good writing. And I was walking around with Jing, our friend Jing Bentley. And, with Jing, you buy a lot of stuff. Usually I'm just, like, kind of just browsing. But there's one that we picked up by Elisa Tanaka, who's from L.A., and it looks really good. Kind of has some, like, Japanese comic-inspired art, but
awesome, but awesome good. Japanese, not like Naruto Japanese, no. Like
no, a lot of
textures,
textures and ink work. So yeah, I'm excited to look at this.
Looks really good. Yeah. I really like
it. What is it called?
It's called I can't even pronounce it.
Kitsune no
Kobito.
Kobito. Yeah, by Elisa Tanaka. So that was a good find. And then another good, I like this guy. I love Mark Todd, who's Esther Burr Watson's husband, who they run Fun Chicken, which is like the zine and zine store. It's all their zines. And he did this nice little collection of some of the superhero drawings he does. His superhero art, and it's called Power Fury. So it's a cute little sketchbook type zine. So that was a nice get too. So that's what I got. Plus some, other John and Corley stuff like Kate Beaton's book. I heard that sold out at the show.
Did you like it?
I didn't get a chance to read it yet. But I knew that was gonna sell out. So mm-hmm, I had to get that. And what else? I went to Picture Box and got, Yokoyama's latest garden. Mm-hmm. So I haven't read it yet, but
that's good. Mm-hmm. Well, I was gonna talk about Optic Nerve too. I really enjoyed Optic Nerve. Just a word on it. There's a comic at the back about Adrian's decision to stay with the pamphlet instead of going book like everybody else is going to. That I think is so awesome, and I wish he didn't do more like quick autobio like that because it's really fun and really interesting to me.
It's drawn in that same style as that. What was that, Diary of Impending Marriage?
The notes from Impending Marriage. Mm-hmm. And I also picked up a comic called The Thickness, #2, which I guess was advertised as a porn comic. And I was really excited
was
about
it
that.
Was really a porn comic?
It's like an alternative porn. Uh-huh. Like, it's like porn, but like, it's not a porn that you're like taking to the bathroom by yourself. You know, it's porn where you're just like, oh, that's weird.
Ryan Sands does a really good job with his books.
Yeah, Rizzo pressed, and it was like eight colors or some and there's a little like pull out. Like, so I loved his bookmaking ability. I love the book.
I really feel stupid not getting that book.
Yeah, I wish that I liked it a lot, but I kind of wish that it was more porny than it was. But it was a good book. There was a really cool story by Michael DeForge and some guy I've never heard of before, but it was really good. And then I also picked up Troop 149. I didn't pick it up. Lark picked it up.
Yeah, I got that too. I got Freddy in.
Yeah, I guess that was Mike Dawson's book, and I haven't read it yet. Seems like it might be a fun read. Yeah. Seems like a book where the writing is going to pay off, because his drawing, while it's good, there's nothing really crazy special or stylized about his drawing, but hopefully the storytelling is just gonna drive it through.
I don't know. He has a certain style that you can tell is Mike Dawson.
Yeah, you can tell, but it's just it looks like it's like strip cartoons. It looks like it would belong in a newspaper or something like that,
Well, it was a webcomic at first.
Oh, really? Man, I had no idea how popular Kate Beaton Lady is, though. I mean, I've never seen lines like that at Ape before.
But you hardly see her at Ape, though.
But really?
And it's
just
a new book.
It's crazy that many people were into that.
Well, she gets lines. Long lines everywhere.
Really?
So, yeah.
Yikes.
Remember in Stumptown? She saw that at her
What is
that? TCAF, always a long line.
Is it just the web presence, you think? She has a lot of web fans.
And I think she does, work that a lot of people just like.
Right. Yeah, she does really good work.
No, yeah. I mean, I like her stuff. It's just kind of weird that, somebody that read it on the computer and read all these other anthologies that she's put out herself. Still lines up to buy this. Oh, you gotta go?
Oh, okay.
Someone's okay.
The door.
No problem. All right. Thank you so much, buddy.
See you.
Wow.
Bye, guys.
Okay, bye.
He's got another podcast.
Yeah, he's going on to the Ink Panthers. Intro?
Yeah.
We're gonna try to be more professional. We're gonna do like an intro and everything.
We are starting just now in season 4.
Yeah, to be more professional. Let's go.
As long as you can hear us. Can you hear us, Michael?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Very nice voice. So we're here with we talked a little bit about about sickness.
Oh my god, is this your intro?
And well, I want to like, you know, let it flow from like what we were talking about with Josh.
Okay, how
we saw Sickness Number 2 at Ape, which debuted at Ape with, you know, Ryan Sands, put that together. And so one of those artists is Michael DeForge. She was like pretty much, let's just say that he's the young hot artist, comic artist.
Yeah. We've been talking about this dude for like 5 episodes.
Yeah.
When we were with Annie Koyama, that's all she talked about.
Yeah.
Ryan Sands, that's all he talks about.
We didn't interview everybody, Ryan Sands.
I know, but you know, we were talking every episode. We've talked about this dude. Wow.
Yep.
You know,
but should we call you DeForge instead of Michael?
Oh, I don't know. Whatever you're comfortable. Yeah.
You have a beautiful name. You have a beautiful voice, and it's so different than what I imagined. I've never met you or I've heard you talk at all. So when I look at your name, I always think you're gonna be like, "Hey,
Michael."
You
know? Michael's a good looking guy.
Is he a good looking guy?
I thought my voice is very monotonous. Maybe.
Yeah, it's very calming and soothing. I thought it would be more like biker. Like tough biker guy.
Like,
okay.
I think every time I look at your name, I think I just think of the X-Men Forge, and then that gets stuck in my head, and I can't imagine you looking like anything else but him.
I should have like a Forge goatee.
Oh man, you know that's awesome.
But yeah, you know.
What are you doing right now, Mike?
I'm just like staring at my computer.
You looking at Facebook while you talk to us?
Yeah, are you tweeting about us?
No, it's kind of weird because I'm just staring at like that little Skype symbol.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Aww. I don't know. Should I be like surfing the web while I talk to you?
Is my symbol generic or is it, because yours is generic, it has a guy with a V-neck.
Yeah, that's yours too. Oh, or it could be a girl with a V-neck.
Yeah.
You guys think you guys are, you know, artists that you guys can have better little avatars on Skype than just the one they give you.
Well, our names are kind of not creative either. Michael DeForge, Rena Ayu Yang.
So like you're relatively new, right? Or either you're new or I'm like very behind the times. But it seems like within the last year or two, I've heard your name a lot in the indie comic scene, whereas I didn't hear it for a long time before that. Could you tell us a little bit how you got into drawing comics? And because Annie had told us about how the reason she found you was that she saw your poster art on the computer.
And when I found you, it was like I actually got one of your shirts through Threadless.
Oh really?
But
he works at Threadless?
No, he did a design for Threadless.
Oh, okay.
They deleted the comments on it, but. For a while, all those comments about that shirt were like talking about how hideous it was, like how it looked like a brain tumor or something. Like,
I think that's an awesome shirt.
Well, he's not really a Threadless type audience. Your audience is not really the Threadless shopper.
Not anymore. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how you got into comics, Mark.
I've been drawing forever, and then I would sort of do comics on and off for a little bit. Like in high school, I would do a lot of like just really small runs of mini comics. And then I kind of stopped really drawing them. Like I like the idea of drawing them, but you know, like it's harder to draw that than to just draw other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe I could work in some other type of art, and I went to school. I didn't go to art school, but I was taking this story is like weird and roundabout. I dropped out of school and then I thought I'll be like a commercial illustrator and I'll make a lot of money somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, and I just like sort of fucked around for like a while.
But now you're making tons of money. So that worked out really well.
Comics are just, so lucrative. Basically I started taking comics seriously again because I had like this really bad year and I was like it just in my personal life. And then I was sort of like looking at what I was doing and like I was still drawing, but like I wasn't really making money. And then I also wasn't actually making interesting artwork. Like I was just sort of trying to get gigs or trying to get into like really cheesy gallery shows or like get commissions drawing on those like dumb vinyl toys and stuff.
Uh-huh.
thought like, oh, yeah. All right, this seems like a big waste of my time, like, because yes. I'm not actually into any of this.
Yeah, don't draw. People, if you're listening to me right now, please stop drawing on those stupid vinyl toys. Enough.
Those blank
ones. Enough with the stupid blank again? Dunnies or monies. Please, stop.
I assume with, like, the recession, that market is kind of...
Yeah,
like that, the plastic monkey yeah. toys are first to go,
but
maybe.
Don't you think people are making their own toys? That's the whole idea.
Well, yeah, that's better. That's well, I mean, it's more creative if someone... People are making their own toys as opposed to going down to the toy store, buying a toy and drawing on it and selling it to me for, mm-hmm. you know, $200. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry
but, like, to interrupt. That sounds fine, but I just, like, I wasn't into it. And then I started realizing, like, oh, like, I kind of came back to, like, oh, yeah, I should just do comics, because that's what, like, sort of got me into drawing in the first place, and before I kind of wrote it off as being too hard, and I got lazy about it, like, that's mm-hmm. what I wanted to make. And then I started doing some strips and doing some experiments, and then I started doing the pages to Lose Number One without really realizing they would turn into Lose Number One. And yeah, and I met Anne at TCAF, and I think either then or shortly after, I gave her a few of the mini comics I'd made over the past few months, and then kind of informally pitched her Lose One. And yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. So, you know, you've been working with, you did actually three comics with Anne?
Four. I also did Spotting Deer.
Oh, wow. Okay. How is it working with Anna at Kanyama Press? Do you enjoy it?
Yeah. It's like, it's awesome. She's super supportive, and I just show her all the work as I do it, like in chunks of 5 or 10 pages. And yeah, like, she's really supportive and kind of lets me, like, it's pretty awesome that I got to. She's launched a few since, but, like, before that, it's not really a format that seems like this is something that a publisher will do well selling, like this.
Yeah.
And she totally took a chance on it, and it's awesome, and it feels like I'm just, yeah, really happy that, mm-hmm. That she did that and gave me that opportunity.
But it seems like, you know, they're doing pretty well. I mean, like, you know, Lose Number One was out of print. I think Lose Number Two is out of print as well or something. Like, it's in another printing.
Yeah, we did another printing. Yeah.
It seems like
it's really successful. And your most recent comic was just nominated for an Ignatz. Did you win that Ignatz award?
I got it for, yeah, best comic.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice, mm-hmm. Nice.
And so, then you got the Doug Wright Award, too.
What's that?
It's a Canadian, yes. You know, award for, like,
TCAF. Oh, you yeah. live in Canada?
I'm in Toronto.
Oh, I had no idea. Torontia? You live in Torontia?
Canada.
That's cool. So, with all this attention, does it get a little overwhelming? I mean, it's hard for you to toot your own horn, like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, I'm awesome and everything, but. Yeah. Is it a little bit, like, weird to go from, like, you know, just making little mini comics to now, like, getting Ignatz and, like, hot chicks all the time and getting cars given to you and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's sort of what happens, right? Yeah, it's, like, an honor to have won those, but yeah. I spend most of it, like, it doesn't seem that way when I'm just working in my basement, not... Yeah. Like, losing money on making comics anyway, which I'm, like, happy to do, but, like, it doesn't really change a lot.
Doesn't Canada just pay people to draw comics there? It seems like everybody that lives in Canada just does comics, and the government just, like, hey, here's some money. Is that not true?
No, I think it's all Annie.
there are grants available just to work. Like, my girlfriend, actually, she's a writer, and she just got a grant to work on a short story collection. But like, I do have, like, a job drawing right now, and I'm happy with that, so uh-huh. I'm happy. I don't require... Mm-hmm. I've always been able, even, like, before, when I was dishwashing, I still was able to make the time to do comics, so uh-huh. I hadn't thought of actually applying to one as of yet, so...
Bro, like, sometimes I look at all the stuff that you're doing, and, like, my head is, like, completely dizzy. You're doing so much shit. Like, you have comics out. Yeah. Every time I look at an anthology, you have a piece or a cover or something like that. How do you find time to do so much stuff? Are you just a quick artist, or do you just, like, you're just kind of, like, crazy and you just want to draw all the time?
I do draw a lot. I don't know if I like draw. I think I just sort of make it seem like I draw more than other people because mm-hmm. I like post, like I habitually just put everything I do up on the internet.
Oh, okay.
And I think I'm just like tricking people into thinking that I'm more productive than I really am. Like, or like all my friends like work harder than me. So I never feel like I'm actually getting more shit done than anyone else.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Well, you're getting more shit done than a lot of people I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you work fast? I mean, because, like, you know, a lot of the stuff, like, I'm looking at the cover of Loose Number 3. Well, actually, all these pages are really dense. And I'm just wondering if that just comes, you know, like, natural, like, you're just drawing the sketchbook, or is this, like, a long process when you do it?
It's a pretty long process. I'm serializing a mini comic that hopefully when I'm done will be a graphic novel called Open Country. And I'm trying to loosen up my style a bit. So there's less detail, or just less like crazy overworked detail. Pages usually take me a little while. Cause I do like packing things pretty densely.
You know, I read, I love, by the way, your latest issue. I don't know, I'm trying to look on the cover to see whether it's number 3 or number 4 right now. It's number 3. Yeah. I love the storytelling of it. And the way it looks to me, it seems like it's a story that is kind of like, it could be autobiographical.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, just a story that involves, you know, just regular human. But you, placed it in a world and using characters that are not... distinctly human, and the world is like, you know, post-apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really have to be that way. You know, the story itself lends. Why did you choose to write it and to draw in that way, as opposed to just a straight story with people and houses and stuff?
Well, I feel like it kind of wouldn't work as well if it wasn't like the choice to make them all dogs, mm-hmm. and the choice to make it like a kind of a post-apocalyptic wasteland are a bit separate, but mm-hmm. like dogs, there's all these different implications when you see like a talking cartoon dog, and like,
uh-huh.
and that's different than when you see a cat, and you have different associations of like mm-hmm. how like a pack of dogs or a family of dogs operates, and also dogs as like scavengers, and like all these little things that I think makes it funny, and
uh-huh.
like if I just drew people, it wouldn't really work. Like, I feel like this sounds really dumb because it's like just a dumb comic, but it's like, I just couldn't do it with people. Like, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And then with the wasteland, I like, or just like having it set in a post-apocalypse. I like the idea of, just some unnamed bad thing happening that nobody really addresses.
Yeah.
Really fix or build on, like, and everyone just has to deal with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that it's just, you know, my favorite part of this book is that it's just like this guy has real world problems, but his surrounding environment is just so crazy. And, you know, that it's just so crazy, but he's like, you know, his problem is that he has broken heart.
It's just very visual in that you get that entire environment, like, it seems like you work really hard in trying to like craft that whole kind of atmosphere, like that setting. And I mean, I know because you're a visual artist, and I'm just curious if that takes up like a huge part in planning your comic, is like building that world, not just the storyline, but the world around the story.
Yeah, like I don't like make a map of anything or something, mm-hmm. but I spend a lot of time deciding just mm-hmm. like where something will be set and how, like I'm working on a story right now that's in a forest, and I'm just spending a lot of time even just thinking about like how much snow should cover part of the trees and stuff. Just
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And and a lot of it's just because like I have to draw it a billion more times in each panel that I want to like make sure every choice I make is something that I'm okay, like, redrawing until I'm done the thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so the story, you know, for me, the emotions are so real. I'm always curious when I read something where the emotions are so real and so realistic, how much of of it is autobiographical and how much of it is just something that you made up? I mean, is there an element of autobiographicalness to your to Lose 3 at least?
Yeah, to 3 and 1, there's a lot of that, but I kind of cut everything up in a way that it, like, I don't try to, like, recreate anything that happens in my life, but, like, use bits and pieces of everything and then kind of make a bigger thing, so it's not autobiographical, but, like, obviously I can only write about experiences that I've, like, been through still, so then it does play into it, but I hope it doesn't actually read as me trying to work through actual events chronologically, you know? Mm-hmm.
But does doing those stories kind of help you to think about those situations? Is it therapeutic to do a comic with situations like this, or is it just something that's just interesting to you?
It probably is therapeutic, like, or it's like a way of working through things. But I hope it doesn't, like, I hope that's not the primary thing of it. There are pieces of art that are that, and that's fine, but that's not really what I'm going for, is just, like, an outlet for me,
There are, like, other stories, too, where you kind of riff off, superhero comics, but you, like, Peter's Muscle, that mini comic where he's kind of this sad Peter Parker character.
Wow, you're a real DeForge fan. Yeah. Where did you find that?
I'm a stalker. No. Where did I find that?
Your shrine. Like, that's where you found
it. My shrine. Yeah, next to those flowers.
That's for free actually. Now on What Things Do.
I think I got it at TCAF or something. No. I think you gave it. You gave it to me last week. But yeah, there is this kind of homage to superhero comics, but totally kind of a parody of that. Like, are you a fan? I guess you are a fan of, like, superhero comics and, like, old comics.
You are?
But, like,
I am, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you read them now?
There aren't many that I read now. I picked up the new Animal Man because Jeff Lemire wrote it.
Yeah.
That's okay, but there's not a ton that I'm still, like, that'll probably follow. And I was reading, who's that guy? Marcos Martin?
Yeah, in the Daredevil?
Yeah, I haven't read any of the Daredevil issues, but I bought a bunch of his Spider-Man back issues, and those are really good.
Yeah, that dude, all the South American artists are pretty much going to take over that industry, I think. They're so just so good and so fast.
Who's the other guy? Is it Paulo Rivera? Paulo
Rivera and, Gabriel Ba from Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Casanova.
The Casanova, exactly. Hey, if someone came out and was like Marvel or DC, was like, hey, you can draw a comic for us. You can pick which one. Which one would you pick?
Oh, I don't know if I'd do it even.
What?
But, like, I don't know. Like, I think at one point someone asked me that, and I was
like, what if you can write it too? Draw and write.
But, like, sure. I don't know. Would they ever let me do that? Like, that'd be such a pain in the ass to, like, and then, like, not it be your thing.
But, Michael, you are the hot cartoonist, darling, I'm sure they would let you do that.
Sure, yeah, but Marvel is calling me. I'm always just sort of like telling Quesada,
Mike,
your paychecks.
Mike's being all indie.
Whatever. Meanwhile, he's like at his computer, like, airbrushing some Superman.
Mike's being all like indie cartoonist boss. Like, I don't know if I can do a comic.
I'm just staring.
Not my own thing.
Depressingly at the Skype icon, but I'm on my Wacom tablet.
I would love to see Batman. I would love to see a DeForged Spider-Man. I think that would be one of the coolest things in the world.
You can see that.
Apparently, I don't have it because I've never heard of it before. But I would love to see that, my friend.
Going back to that question, what made you want to do, like, parody comics of the superhero comics? You kind of did some in Lose, too.
I like the idea of just sort of using it as a... For Lose 1, it was more overtly just, like, a dumb parody of all those characters. Mm-hmm. For Peter's Muscle, and then I recently did a Silver Surfer strip for Smoke Signal.
Yes, I saw that. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you. And I like kind of using these really base characteristics of them and then just using it as a starting point to write. I mean, I kind of just use it the way I'd use any other character, where I just use them as a starting point to vent other, like, just very real neuroses and not make it about the actual superheroics happening. The same way if I, like, write a horror comic, it's often just about, like, people talking at each other rather than the horror happening around them. Maybe. Cool. Yeah.
You know, another thing I saw of yours that I really enjoyed is your piece in The Thickness. Is it called The Thickness?
No, it's called Thickness.
I like that it's called The Thickness. The Thickness. The Thickness
Stop
number two.
Stop saying that.
And I enjoyed the piece. However, Mike, I gotta say, I'm a little disappointed in the it's the artsiness of the porn in The Thickness. I was promised porn comics, and it wasn't really like porn comics. It was just kind of arty porn comics. And I was hoping I would see a Michael DeForge comic that was like, you know, like an Asia Carrera, Peter North comic. Can you talk a little bit about your experience with porn? What type of porn you like? You know, that kind of stuff.
No.
What?
I like all sorts of porn. Did you read Thickness 1?
No, I just read The Thickness 2.
Thickness 1, I think, has a different vibe than Thickness 2.
Oh, really?
Like, what I did was a porn... I don't have, like, any close-up penetration shots or anything. But
that's
like pretty...
what I was hoping for. I was hoping for some, maybe money shots. I don't know.
Okay, knock it off now.
Why? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
the producer is a baby, so we can't talk about this. But I remember...
Actually, he's in the other room, but like, I just feel uncomfortable with
it. One of my favorite... I mean, and this is not going to get too raunchy, so I promise. But I remember when I was younger, and we went to a comic book store. In the back, there'll be...
Are you going to talk about Cherry? Are you going to talk about...
I'm going to talk about Omaha the Cat Dancer.
Omaha the Cat Dancer.
I finally remember sneaking into the thing. And looking at those comics, did you have any experience like that helped you to draw the thickness?
It was more contemporary cartoonists actually. Like there are like porn cartoonists throughout history that I like, but I think when Ryan and I conceived of it, it was because we were looking at Derek Ballard's work and Johnny Negron's work, and then other artists who we're friends with, like Angie Wang, who we knew had an interest in it, but didn't really have like it seemed like something like to get Angie to do a porn comic, we'd have to like ask her or something, but not like it doesn't seem like something she'd do on her own and then like submit to First Second. So it was like, all right, let's do this. And then
I was just talking about that piece to Angie.
Watch Angie's gonna be like, change her old tune with First Second. I want to do porn comics now, First Second.
Right. I was thinking about, Michael. We were talking about her piece in the Thickness, just the other day, and I was saying that it was almost too much. Like I read it, and now like every time I see Angie, I'm just like, oh, I know how you F now. You know, it stresses me out. You know what I mean?
What did she
it's
say?
Too real. I mean,
what did
it's,
she say
it's,
to that?
I haven't seen her, but every time I see her, that's how I think. Now I'm like, oh, I know how Angie F's. You know?
You feel that
it's
about
almost
every
too
episode.
Much.
Stop it now. It's just uncomfortable. Although when I did meet Angie for the first time at
and
eight.
And you thought, how does she F?
No, I didn't. But I said, oh, Angie, I saw a piece you did at in Root Rot, and I think she was like, oh. But I think she really wanted me to say, oh, I saw a piece in The Thickness.
The Thickness.
Instead of Root Rot. I think she wanted me to see maybe more of the...
Is the title, The Thickness, refers
it's
to
thickness.
The
Just
member?
Say thickness.
You know? Does it, is no, that what it refers to?
Like, you know,
it could, like, refer to anything,
yeah,
right? Like, it could also refer... When I first heard it, I was actually thinking of, like, viscous fluid, you know?
Ooh.
But,
oh.
Ew. That's wow. Gross. I thought it referred to
like,
the penis.
Right. Yeah, it could refer to both male and female anatomy or the musk of like
the
a haze.
That's my porn comic, The Musk.
All right, that's it. So what made you start collaborating with Ryan Sands?
What made you go ahead.
How was it working with Ryan?
It was great. Yeah, like he's a good buddy. I met him a few years ago, or I didn't meet, like I talked to him online about, it was like back when me and a bunch of other cartoonists were still on LiveJournal for some reason. Like
LiveJournal for some reason.
It was like the only people who it seemed like were on LiveJournal were like a bunch of like alt cartoonist friends of mine, and then like fan fiction websites.
Slash websites.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but it was just like there was nothing else. No one was using that site anymore.
Uh-huh. But uh-huh. Is that the site where people ask you whatever question you want, you have to answer it?
No, that's not it.
But yeah, like, and then he was running, I think he had just started Same Hat, and I was avidly following it, and then so we ended up talking just about a few manga cartoonists that we liked, and he invited me into the Electric Ant zine. So I did a piece for number one, and then by the time number two came out, we were corresponding more and more.
And then you did the Lady Gaga tribute.
Yeah, we did. We did that for TCAF, and that was sort of like, that was less thought out than the thickness. That was just kind of like haphazardly put together. That was less thought out than the thickness.
Stop, Mike. You're going to start saying it that way.
Ryan Sands is the most crazy dude. Before Ape, we went over and visit his the Rizzoplex.
Uh-huh. Oh, nice.
You know? Yeah. And he was running off the sheet, and he was doing it in such a way that was like every page had like two different colors. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I was just looking at it, I was so tired. I was like, this just looking at him work made me tired.
I felt so bad that like I couldn't be over there this week to help him with that.
Yeah, where were you, bro?
I had planned to go, and then I'm just like the most disorganized person in the world, and I fucked up and waited way too long to try to book a ticket.
Oh,
and
yeah.
By the time I was going to book it,
it's like $2,000.
Like, yeah, I was just like, I can't. This yeah. There's no way this is happening. So,
yep. So are you working on anything new right now? What is the future of Michael DeForge Enterprises?
I should just sign my name that way.
Yeah. From now on. I gotta tell you, I think I've talked about this before, but yeah, I know you were like, I don't know if I want to work for Marvel, but one of the coolest things about working for Marvel, if you ever did work for Marvel, is you get a check.
I did a thing for Strange Tales.
Oh, you did? You did.
So technically, yeah, that was my Marvel.
Did you get that check with the Spider-Man on the corner?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's amazing, right?
Yeah.
You should.
Yeah, it's amazing. I catch.
You should. I made a photocopy of it. But you should draw a little Michael DeForge, and it says Michael DeForge Enterprises, and when you pay people, I'll have that in the corner of the check. Awesome. Michael DeForge Enterprises. So what is the future of Enterprise? Should I buy stock in this?
Probably not. I don't think I'm doing anything too profitable. I'm doing like a free webcomic right now.
Oh, yeah, that's not profitable at all.
I'm three installments in.
Crap! That's the piece I saw recently. I love that.
Oh, thank you.
I only saw the first installment. But I remember thinking, oh my god, this is finally a good webcomic. I think Zach Soto linked to it on his Twitter.
What is it called?
And where? It's called Ant Comic.
Yeah, yeah, it's so good.
Can we say it again, Michael?
Ant Comic.
Okay.
I'm doing it bi-weekly.
And what's the web address?
It's just like my blog, like michaelforge.org.
And what is it called? What is your blog? What's the address of the blog, Michael? Yeah. That's what we're asking here.
Michaeldeforge.wordpress.com.
Okay. Well, it's awesome. The one I read was just about an ant who was like disenchanted with the life of an ant. It was amazing.
I think you need to start a Kickstarter for you to get a domain name.
I have kingtrash.com, but it's just there to link to my blog.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I didn't know how to set it up so that website is also a blog because I'm pretty dumb. So
People just send Michael DeForge some money. All he needs is $23 to get a new domain name. I don't think we need to have a big Kickstarter for that or anything. Okay, so besides the ant, what you got else got going?
Just this weekend, I finished the second issue of Open Country, that mini comic I was talking about. So that'll go to print soon, whenever I'm getting a friend to help me print it, so we feel like doing that. And then a bit, what else do I have? Well, I do like a weekly gag for Frank Santoro's column on the Comics Journal site.
Oh.
That's just like a one panel drawing. And it's just sort of something I do is like, because it just takes like an hour or two. And it's like a little exercise. And I just started Lose 4, so that's also on the, but that'll be a while, I guess, until I finish that.
Is Lose 4 going to follow the story of the dogs, or is it something completely new?
It's something completely new, but by completely new, it still, like, has dogs in it.
This is a different dog.
All my comics have, like annoying kids and, like, dogs and forests. And
I know, that dog's kids were really annoying, I have to say.
Yeah, and Disney's.
Really, you know, yeah. Unappreciative, entitled...
So you have three. Those kids are mean. You have three episodes of that ant comic.
I said those kids are like me. Like I was like, you know, yeah. That's why I was writing them shitty kids.
That was kind of funny though. Like you know that whole story about like them. But he's like, go use your credit card, and it's about like trying to open that website. Anyway, but wow. it seems like you've listed like a bunch of projects, and it seems like
job?
How do you? And I know that we're going to get into it when Tin asks about, I don't like this question, but he's going to ask it, the day in the life
What's
question.
The day in the life of Michael DeForge
so
like?
So I'm just curious when you answer that question, like, I mean, do you work really fast? I mean, how do you, like, organize all these projects? And
do you eat?
I do eat. I eat, like, a lot.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, we got to ask that question
later on. My work day is usually... It's not that I work fast, but I don't sleep very much. So when I have a day to myself and I'm not like hanging out with my girlfriend or whatever, like I'm just working because like, yeah, I'm just in my room. So, and I don't sleep very much. So just, I end up being able to be productive just because there's so many hours to fill during the day, I think.
Are you an insomniac or something like that?
I am. Like, I usually, right now, I'm actually kind of going through a bad spell of having my sleep interrupted, but I usually get by on, like, 3 or 4 hours. But
are we
right
interrupting your sleep?
No, I'm good for another while. yeah. And I do have a day job, and I kind of, lately I've been breaking it up so that the drawing I do for, like, the paid work, I do mostly at night, and during the day I spend it doing comics.
So you do the comics before the day job stuff, which is usually a lot of people do the opposite.
Yeah, I think it's because I feel like the comics, if I wait until it's night, then I don't even know why I started that trail of thought. I just do that. I don't
know. Maybe because of the creative energy, the flow, like you get tired at the end of the day and you can't.
Yeah. Well, something like when I'm like writing, I need to like maybe take a walk or like buy a pizza or something. Uh-huh. And like that's easier to do during the day than at like 5 in the morning.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So is it time to ask that question?
I guess.
What is the day of Michael DeForge like? So you wake up.
Oh,
what time is it?
I wake up. It's usually like 9 or 10 maybe. It depends how much I was working the night before. Like sometimes I'll stay up till like noon and then sleep until 3 or something.
Yikes.
But I kind of like it kind of
shifts. Oh, so you stay up noon and you get yourself that whole 4 hours of sleep? Jesus.
It depends. It used to be able just to like adapt my schedule no matter what, but lately I'm like not able to do that.
you're a pretty young guy then, huh? You gotta be like what, 23?
I'm 24.
Jeez, that's why you can do it. That's why you can do it, because you're so young. Okay. So you wake up at noon or 3 o'clock.
Sure.
So what are you doing?
Then I probably spend like 2 hours. This is like really not gonna be interesting. Then
yeah,
I spend like two hours like
that's what it's all
reading
about.
Reading blogs and like Googling my name or whatever people do on the internet.
You can get
like
an alert that will do automatically.
What blogs do you read?
I read, my RSS feed is just like a ton of...
Oh, okay.
I read like all the same things comics people read, and then I have a few like music blogs and things like that. And yeah. And then I like watch some TV.
Like Law and Order or something?
Yeah, or like I watch a lot of TV just while I work.
Uh-huh.
So usually I'll have to watch one show that's like good enough that I don't want to be drawing for it.
Then
I'll just start to work. And
what are you watching right now?
Right now, I watch like a lot of garbage.
Yeah,
this is, like,
that's good.
Embarrassing. I watch like Gossip Girl.
Oh, that's not good.
Like Sons of Anarchy.
Oh yeah.
America's Next Top Model.
Oh, bro.
Breaking Bad is good. Breaking Bad's a good show that I don't feel.
Oh, bro.
Michael, do you watch any Bravo TV?
I no, or I used to watch Top Chef.
Do you keep up with the Kardashians?
I just need stuff. Like I listen to a lot of talk radio too. Like I just sort of need stuff while I work to be going on in the background. So like, it's not like I'm following intensely. It's up to.
But like, you listen to Ryan.
Okay, 2 hours. We're chalking off to blogs and crazy crap. Okay, so then what's next?
Facebook, right?
No, then I just start to. By 2 hours, I'm like good to just start working.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you just get down to it and just start drawing.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll see whatever comics. I'm usually like, I usually do like half a page of one thing and half a page of another thing each day, and then finish them both the next day, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Do you write and thumbnails out all your thumbnails?
Yeah,
thumbnails out all your comics before you start drawing them for realsies?
It depends. For Open Country, the bigger things, and like Ant Comic is going to be longer running. Mm-hmm. I just kind of do them, like for Open Country, I'm doing it just in 15 page chunks or 20 page chunks, and Ant Comic I just do a strip at a time. But then for Lose, I'll try to do like a thumbnailed script of 30 pages, but it's like really loose, and I like most of the dialogue is just like write dialogue here or something, and then I fill that in as I go, and I usually end up cutting stuff or switching shit around as I
And then you go to pencils. Do you just draw with pencil on Bristol or pencil on typing paper? Or what's that?
I just draw. I do the pencils all in my sketchbook. Just like, and it's like really
loose.
Yeah, it's like really really rough and loose. And there's usually like stuff hacked over in pen or just notes. And then right now I'm doing inking all my comics digitally.
Oh,
I don't think I have any left that I'm inking by hand.
Really?
So I'm,
a Cintiq or something?
I don't have a Cintiq. I have like an Intuos 3 or 4 or something.
What is that?
Like some tablet. It's like a Wacom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're inking on the computer. Wow. That's amazing because it doesn't look like that at all.
Yeah.
I'm glad. It's been kind of gradual over the past while that I'm now fully doing all my comics this way, but it's just so much faster.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that it's not noticeable because
Not at all. Do you use something other than Photoshop? Because I have a hard time getting lines that look like just regular drawing lines with Photoshop. Or is that all you use?
Yeah, I just use Photoshop.
That's crazy.
Or do you like create your own brushes?
No, I use like whatever the.
Okay.
I use like the number 4, like the round. It's usually at like 4. You know.
So do you like reduce the size and stuff, and do you play around with like panels or is it actual scale? Like
I ink to scale.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow. So that's kind of tiny.
Man, dude, you're ridiculous. Yeah. All right. So then you.
So that's pretty tiny, though, especially with that detail.
It suits. Well, that's sort of why I think it suits me is that it is like when I'm inking, it's not like there is so many like tiny little things to get caught up in that it's easier for me to zoom in and correct that way and to like ink each detail that specifically.
I mean, yeah, I totally get the drawing for scale, but like looking at it, it just seems like you work big.
Oh, right. Well, that's why I have to like make sure that my pencils are like organized enough that like I know where characters are going to be and like how each balloon will place and the angles and how everything lines up and all that.
Well, that's pretty cool. So then you work for what, 6-7 hours?
Sounds about right. I'll work until like in those chunks until like 10 or 11.
Uh-huh.
And I'll go get some food.
Okay. So what are you eating?
By then it'll just be like like Chinatown will still be open, and there's like some places I can go there, or like pizza places. And I've I live next to like a 24-hour grocery, so and then I come back, and then I work until until the morning on the paid work.
That's crazy. Oh, so you get to work, do your drawing work at home?
Yeah, I do. I do all my work remotely. I work on this show, Adventure Time, and I do prop and effects design.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, they just let me like as long as I meet the deadlines, and like usually I kind of keep in mind like, okay, they in they're in LA, so like in their time they get into the office at noon. So I'm like, all right, if I send them a batch by noon, I'll get revisions by the time I like wake up, you know.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I had no idea you worked on
that. Yeah, I love that show. How did you get hooked up with that gig? I actually met the at Comic-Con, I met the creator of that. He was just such an unassuming dude. He was he came to the table, and he's like, I like your stuff. And I'm like, oh. And he was like, I'm having a, you know, I'm like, and then I was like, who are you? He's like, oh, you know, I work on Adventure Time. I'm like, oh, really? He's like, actually, I'm the creator of Adventure Time. I'm like, what? He was just like some dude. I thought it was really cool that he was just like.
Yeah, he's like the nicest guy.
Yeah, he was a cool dude. So did you get hooked up with through him, or did someone else refer you, or?
What happened was, it was like, I'm not sure who there first would have seen my work, but like a lot of cartoonists around the show, like a lot of comics guys, and Tom Herpick, he got a hold of me like about a year ago and asked if I wanted to audition to be a storyboard artist, and I said, like, sure, like, that sounds way better than what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
But then I asked him if I'd have to live in L.A., and he said, if I did, I didn't expect to get it, but, like, if I did, like, would I have to move? And he said, yeah, so I was like, well, I can't move because I have a girlfriend, and I don't even have, like, a driver's license here. That's, like, a driving city or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then a few months later, I can't remember who contacted me later. It would have been the former character designer, Phil Ridna, contacted me and asked if I wanted to audition to be a character designer. And I said, sure, but I still can't move. And he said, just audition anyway. And audition to be like what I was doing right now. It's like props and effects. But it was like a character design audition. So I got, so they said, like, sure, like, we can get you to do work, but you still have to move. And I was like, well, so I said no. And then Phil quit, and they were like desperate enough that they just hired me remotely.
Wow. That's a cool gig, bro.
Yeah. I feel like really lucky because I didn't expect to get it. And I get to work for cartoonists, which is pretty cool, I think.
Yeah. Sometimes I think, you know, I love these shows like the on Cartoon Network or something like that. And then I realized that, you know, the reason I like the show is that so many like really great cartoonists, you know, or great artists are working on these shows. And that's what's making them so great. And it's funny because Thomas Harpick, I have one comic of his, I think it's called Cusp or something like that.
Yeah. Cusp. Yeah. That's an awesome one.
Well, I'm sorry. My wife actually bought it. I didn't buy it, but she bought it and I read it and it was really gross. Like there was like craziness. And then now he's on Adventure Time.
Wasn't there that kind of comic with the, it looks like a,
it has robot. A deer on it.
No, but then you do another.
Yeah. He did the second one was Cusp too.
Oh, okay.
He had a little robot and stuff like that on it. Anyways, he's hardly somebody I thought would be involved in Adventure Time, but I'm glad he is because he was a great cartoonist, and I guess that's why that show is doing so well.
Yeah, the show gets away with some pretty gnarly stuff. Like, actually, next week I got to draw a lot of, like really gross things.
The thicknesses? And
I got to just put in my thickness story. draw some effects that are just, like people's heads exploding and things like that. And I was like, really, like, whoa, it's pretty crazy that kids get to watch this now.
Micah DeFord, just sounds like you're just living the dream, my friend.
I'm pretty happy I get to draw for a living. And also that this is the first time that I have had a salary job that's not like, it's not just like dishwashing that I would get fired from. Or, like, warehouse work and dumb shit like that. So, I'm pretty happy that I get to draw. So
yeah,
cool. So Michael, what are the cartoonists or artists that are inspiring you or that
look at you right now? Do you hang out with any cartoonists there in Toronto, or is it just kind of a lonely thing?
You just asked the question over my question.
It wasn't as good as my question.
I'm curious because you know you have this like style that is pretty like distinguishable. Like you see like one of your comics and you know it's a Michael DeForest comic, and I'm wondering if there are any cartoonists or artists who influence that. I mean, influence along the way your personal style. And
Well, like, I really like Mark Bell, who's, I feel like I started, when I saw his work in high school for the first time, I was reading alternative comics, and I was reading superhero comics, and the art I was making, like, I was interested in reading these things, but I was sort of only exposed to, like, Optic Nerve and 8-Ball, which I really loved, but it wasn't that similar to the drawing I was doing at the time.
Right.
So then when I saw Mark Bell and a few other high water things, like then I saw Territoid Heights and like just other high water books and Fort Thunder artists. And then Mark Bell would draw with these other artists that a lot of it's in Naugadod, like Pete Thompson and Jason McLean and Luke Ramsey. And it suddenly seemed really closer to what I was interested in making in high school, which was more free form and less strictly like, this is how a comic looks. Like sometimes it'd just be like words in text that like technically isn't comics, but was just kind of related to it in my mind. And so that was a big influence on me. And then Charles Burns, I think, is a pretty visible influence on me. And Hideshi Hino, that he's like, he does some horror manga.
Mm-hmm. What are these people?
He always draws these like creepy kids. Bug Boy.
Yeah, exactly. That's who it is.
Oh man.
Why do you know that?
Because I'm reading Spider-Man all the time. Oh, right. I'm reading Hideshi Hino.
There are superhero comics or like Jack Kirby. I don't know how visible there is. But I love Jack Kirby.
I obsess over him.
And Alex Nino is a big influence on me.
That you read superheroes over.
I'm a snob for reading superheroes.
It just sounded like for all of a sudden it just sounded so. Which is like insane.
I think you guys sound snobs. Like, I like Hideshi Hino.
Yeah, we like the
Hideshi Hino. Who's Hideshi Hino?
Go on, Michael. God bless you.
Okay, Michael, but now it's time to answer the awesomer question. Is that, do you hang out with people in Toronto to draw, or is it just kind of a slow... Do you guys have a crew of cartoonists you hang out with, or is it just kind of like in a kind of like solo style?
I don't draw with them, but there are like other cartoonists who live here who I see fairly frequently. Like Zach Warden lives pretty close to me. Patrick Kyle, Jeanette LaPalme, and Chris Kuzma are friends, and they're in this group called Wowie Zonk.
Wowie Zonk?
Yeah, and they do art separately and sometimes together, and then also Koyama Press has been putting out anthologies that they've been editing. Who else? John Martz lives here. He lives like a block away from me, but for some reason I never see him. And because he's probably avoiding me.
Yeah.
Like Michael Cho lives. I just found out like he lives 2 blocks away from me, but like I've never seen him.
Yeah, he's probably avoiding you.
Who's that? Yeah. Michael Cho?
Who's Michael Cho? Yeah.
He does like a lot of illustration work comics that I think because illustration is his main thing. Comics are more on the back burner, maybe.
You don't gonna have a night or something like that where you go and you're like, hey, let's all go and go to a coffee shop and draw comics together.
A lot of those happen. I just don't go to them.
Oh, because you're too good for them.
I feel self-conscious kind of drawing around people or like doing like jams or something.
Yeah, I hate jams so much all the time. Yeah,
it's like weird, right? Because it's like you're trying to impress them.
And I always feel like I'm the one that fucks it up. I'm the one that like is going to mess it up and no one wants to work on it anymore.
Yeah, because someone will like give me something that's really good and then it's like a lot of pressure to like better keep up this is good work.
And you're just waiting for someone to just draw the penis. That's when you know they jumped the shark. It's like, I can't draw anymore. Someone's gonna whip out a penis. You know?
I am consistently the guy who draws the penis.
That's hilarious.
And also I'm friends with cartoonists, but then when I'm hanging out with them, like I'm drawing all day, I don't want to like hang out with them and then keep drawing. Like, hang out with them and like gossip with them.
Yeah. So I guess this the next question of is there any awesome Toronto comic gossip is probably not a good question to ask.
Also, can you recommend a really good Filipino restaurant in Toronto?
I don't think there is one. I don't think there are Filipinos in Toronto.
There are Filipinos in Toronto, but
Do they live in one? Do they all have one place that they live in, or
are they spread out
through the city?
They're in this one house.
Do you hang out with them?
They all come out like a clown car.
Wait, are you Filipino? Am I being offensive?
Yes.
Michael DeForge is Filipino.
Wait a minute, you're like, I'm Filipino. What did you think that's offensive to me?
Wait, are you Filipino, Michael?
My mom is Chinese-born Filipino.
Oh, wow! And then that's crazy.
My mom would say you were Filipino then.
wait, is it Filipino born? She's Chinese born in the Philippines, whatever that is.
Is there a Jollibee there?
In Toronto? No. When I was in Brooklyn, I wanted to go to the Jollibees in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
There's one there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it's like a big hit since it's I think it's fairly new.
They put pineapples on burgers and it's Filipino burger.
In the Filipino spaghetti.
So is there Filipino restaurants in the Toronto or
There are. I think for, like, the really good ones, you have to go to the suburbs. There are a few bakeries and just kind of, you know, like, there are, like, the convenience stores that have, like, a small cafeteria up front.
Uh-huh.
Okay ones, but there's, like, nothing amazing in downtown. So,
What's your favorite Filipino dish?
Probably kare-kare.
Palabu.
Wow, really? I would not make that choice.
What do you say?
Kare-kare.
Kare-kare. You don't like that?
I don't. Is that
sometimes
curry?
You put peanut butter in it, right?
Well, it's like already a peanutty thing.
Yeah, I just don't like it.
Really? I like
it's like
a combination.
It's oxtail and it's in the sauce.
Your people only have three food items, and you don't like one of them. it's lumpia, adobo, or and this kiri kiri thing that you guys are talking about.
Those are your three items. I should take you to Max's.
I know when it was like all you can eat fried chicken at Max's.
I told Martin Sandretta.
Martin
Sandretta was very.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is he Filipino?
Yeah.
Jesus, there's so many Filipinos in comics. Mm-hmm. You guys have to start a club or something. There's a show coming up in San Francisco actually.
Oh yeah.
It's a celebration of the Filipino cartoonists. But the best one there is Willis Potasio.
Alex Nino and Alfred Ayala.
Oh, is that guy good?
Yeah.
Alex Nino is one of my all-time favorites. He's
really?
One of the 70s superheroes.
Hey, is the Hey Baby guy going to be there?
No, I don't think so. He did come to Comic-Con. Jerry,
have you ever seen that video, Mike?
Hey Baby?
I don't think so.
Oh, man, type that shit in YouTube when you have a time. It's amazing.
You want just to make that on the podcast, like listening to me?
Yeah. Just do it right now. We're just gonna.
Instead of our crank call, which ended badly, why don't you just do that?
This guy does a comic called
Elmer.
Elmer for slave labor graphics, but I think he's more known for this website thing that he put up. He's this Filipino cartoonist. You've never seen Hey Baby? No. You're lying.
I've seen I've seen only that it exists, but I haven't actually watched it.
What? That's your man.
That's my man.
That's like saying that you've never seen a Manny Pacquiao fight.
can I do a Manny Pacquiao impression of him singing?
Go ahead.
You don't mind, right, Michael?
No, I
let's
I'm
do
sure.
it. This interview has already gone to crap. So might as well do a...
It is Filipino Heritage Month.
I want the whole to end my arm.
That's what I was going to do.
That's me.
Sometimes when... Sometimes when we touch, the honesty is too much. And I have to close my eyes and cry.
Oh, that song is amazing. How come only Asian people like that song?
I want the whole to end my arm. When we both, I need reverb or something. When we both break down and
cry. Okay, is this song? We're gonna cut this part out. Don't worry, Mike.
No.
Can you make that the intro to your podcast from now on?
Yeah, that should
be. Manny Pacquiao is, yeah.
You should, you know how we, you have music that comes into this? It should start with the song, and then it should go into you singing in the song. Okay, well, we should start wrapping this show up, or else it's going to take like 2 hours.
Do we have anything else?
Well, what is the upcoming projects you have?
Yeah.
And where are you going to be at any shows coming up, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
That people can come and get a signature on their Lose 3?
I'm going to Brooklyn. Oh, I don't know why I asked that, like I've never heard of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I'm going to Brooklyn.
With Jollibee's. Go to Jollibee's.
Yeah. Like the BCGF or whatever. And then the week before, I might go to Exposine in Montreal. And yeah, I think that's it. Like I'm going to go to TCAF because I live there. So,
bro, you got to start getting tickets soon. Okay.
I know. Those travel stresses me out.
TCAF?
What?
What tickets for what?
No, just you know how he sleeps on the plane tickets and then he can't afford
them. Right.
Oh, yeah. I put it off because travel, like, really stresses me out. So then.
Yeah.
It's probably my subconscious way of, like, making sure I can't travel.
I really gotta check out TCAF one day.
You don't like to fly?
I don't like to fly. I don't like being away from my. I don't like. I feel weird if I'm, like, spend a lot of time not working and yeah, I don't know. I just like, I have a difficult time and like, then also just if I have a lot of work, then when I leave, I have to like cram so much stuff in before and after that it like negates the vacation aspect of traveling for me. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just really bad at it. Like I get super anxious all the time when I'm traveling.
Oh my God. Mike, I'm just sitting here reading Rena's questions that she's typed up for this thing.
We asked this question already, because we're talking about how you're like...
Here's some of the questions she's got on here that we haven't answered yet.
Are you aware
of how much of a cartoonist superstar you are? The second question, who do you see as a comic superstar of today?
But it was supposed to be asked in this cute, like, voice, like Manny Pacquiao's. What do you think are the comic superstars today?
Stop right there.
I was sort of expecting you to sing the whole interview, actually.
So you good? Are you? Did you say TCAF? The Brooklyn. What else are you gonna be at?
In Montreal, there's like a small press thing called Exposine that I'll probably be at. And like I'm online. I'm on the comiccon.org forms.
Oh.
No, I'm not. On the online comic convention.
That's a good one. Christian didn't get
it. I have no idea what it went over my head. And do you have any upcoming projects would you would like to, besides, you know, the Ant comic, which I think is amazing, and I think everyone should get.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you like it.
Did you have 3 episodes already? Because I only read 1 of them, so I'm excited to go home and get some reading going.
I have 3.
Reading going.
After Gossip Girls, of course. <What
is that? laughs> Yeah, I have 3 up, and then eventually it will go weekly.
Okay.
Yeah, at some point. And Open Country 2 will be done soon. And, oh yeah, like Thickness is out that we talked about.
The Thickness.
I think that's like for sale today.
Oh, really?
Online,
which will be like a week or 2 weeks or a month from now. So I don't know what else is up. Yeah, like, and the smoke signal issue.
Oh, cool. Yeah, the Silver Surfer story.
Yeah, it's a funny issue. Like the Matthew Thurber, Ben Mara Transformers parody. It's like,
I keep asking things and saying things because I never want this interview to end.
Yeah.
But
I wanted to ask what books you're reading now or you can suggest to, you know, the who's listening? Yeah, to the listeners. Sorry, I'm still thinking about my karaoke.
Nice. Well, you could have sung that too.
Mm-hmm.
I really I liked
he wants to
I don't know, I buy a lot of I like the new Mark Bell collection. Pretty recently, I got this zine by Andy Burkholder called ITDN. That was like, it's like really, really good. Ryan sent me some comics. You know Aaron Kay?
No.
He's also like Aaron Shunga. I think he signs it as. He's like a crazy like his comic, I not he's not crazy. His comics are just like crazy good. And yeah, he did a comic called Cabeza recently. Mark Connery is really good. He did a collection. Mark Bell actually published a collection of this guy Mark Connery, who is in Toronto, and he called Melamine Car Bomb. Uh-huh. And oh yeah, you know Alex Schubert?
No.
He did a comic called Blobby Boys and one called The Dudes. And
oh, wow.
They're going up on What Things Do right now. And he's like, actually, yeah, he's actually Alex Schubert. He's like my favorite. I only found out about him this year, but like everything he does is the sort of thing that I just get like, I'm like mad that he's so good or something.
Mm-hmm.
He's
like, yeah. That's cool. I love it when we ask these questions to artists and they actually have comics that we should check out and comics that we've never heard of that sounds amazing.
But to you, every episode is always
everybody that you people drop names, I'm just like, who?
Yeah.
Who's this? Hideki Matsui has a comic? Cat Eye Boy? What?
Manny Pacquiao's a comic.
Well, thank you so much, Mike, for joining us.
Thank you.
This was it was a really fun interview.
Yeah.
I wasn't really stammering.
Yeah, your coughing only annoyed me just a little bit.
Yeah.
I was only annoyed a couple times. I was like, I'm gonna have to edit that out.
I have to sing over it.
Yeah. Oh no.
Or you can like bleep the coughing.
Yeah.
Censored noise.
Yeah, when we bleep the thickness, it's gonna go beepness, and then we're gonna also bleep the coughing.
Sweet.
Don't give me that look.
Why did we end like that?
I don't know why you gave me that look. Well, thank you so much, my bro.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
Thank you, buddy. Evening.
Wow. You know, I'm glad that we're back. I mean, after that last episode, I thought that we wouldn't come back as strong as we did.
I'm really excited about this episode. Yeah, you did a good job.
You know, you said that you're gonna take a couple weeks to put this up. I think you should put this up as soon as possible. I think we did a really good job.
I never said that.
You said you're not gonna put this up for another 2 weeks.
Oh no, I said I was gonna put it up next week.
Like this week.
Well, this week I'm gonna put the eighth.
No, I think you should put up the other one.
You understand our procedure? You know, we have to have.
Well, I don't know. If I was editing this, I would edit it faster. But I'm just saying.
And put a lot of Britney Spears on it.
Yeah, but you know, apparently. You don't like my editing style.
What?
All
right.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us. Yes. We're going to, next week, we're going to be interviewing some really big some big comic book artists.
No.
Wait, we're not interviewing anyone
not
anymore?
Not next week.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we always are interviewing some really big comic artists. What are you talking about?
We're going to interview Robert Crumb next week. So come back and join us for that show. Mm-hmm. That's going to be an awesome show.
Yeah. And we're going to crank call Art Spiegelman.
Art Spiegelman. This is a crank call.
Yeah. And then we're going to have a guest new comics reporter. What? I don't know.
You going to fire Josh?
No, just a guest new
comics. Why would you fire Josh?
No! Okay.
Okay, bye, buddy.